Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I again direct you to Psalm 37 and verses 23 and 24. Psalm 37, verses 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. The 37th Psalm and verses 23 and 24, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Those of you present this morning will remember we name four important points in this 23rd verse. Firstly, this good man, one that is truly born of God, brought to seek good things. The Word of God tells us that a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, but an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. And then we looked a little at the steps, particularly the steps of the dear Lord Jesus himself, and too in the experience of God's dear people. And then a little of the wonderful ordering of those steps by the Lord. But we didn't look at the fourth point, and he delighteth in his way. Oh, may we each be found amongst these good men. Let us be very clear. We can only be a good man if we are good women or good children, if we are under the blessed influence of the Holy Spirit and his divine work. Because all good things must flow from the Lord, and they will flow into the child of God's heart, and those effects of it will flow out. And we looked at the grace of humility that flows forth, and may that flow forth much in our hearts. But there's another vital point I just want to name here. These good men are those that are loved with an everlasting love by the Lord. That's why he makes them good, because his love is ever toward them. And that love is eternal, everlasting love. And you know, the more we know of his love in our poor souls, the more we shall love him. The Word of God declares very plainly, doesn't it? We love him because he first loved us. And may we know more and more of that love flowing down into our poor hearts, and the love flowing forth to the Lord, like we looked at a little yesterday concerning dear Simeon. Oh, here was a good man. He had a good religion. He had good desires, good longings. He got a good God to go to, a God who was faithful in all things. And you look how it showed forth with the glorious birth of the Lord Jesus where his love really was toward the Lord God of heaven. You think of those that truly loved the Lord while the Saviour walked here. We think of dear John who leaned upon the Lord's breast. Oh, his love was so great to his Redeemer, and that love was good, wasn't it? It was so manifested. And then we think of those dear women. You see, the love flowed forth, didn't it, from them as they went up to the sepulchre to anoint his precious body. But their dear Redeemer had risen. And oh, the love they showed to Christ. Can we say with the hymn writer, "Do not I love thee, dearest Lord? Behold my heart and see." The steps then of a good man are ordered. May the Lord order every one of your steps and mine, of the unknown way from this hour. And oh, may we be given grace to plead like we sung as we closed this morning, "Order my footsteps by thy word, and make my heart sincere." Is that your prayer and mine today? And we think often, I do, as we venture to try and preach, that the Lord would order our speech. We need him to, don't we? You think in prayer that he might order what we should pray for. Because you see, real prayer that's indicted by the Lord, and that real prayer must come down from heaven into the sinner's heart, and that real prayer will go forth again unto God. Oh, it will. It's indicted by him, ordered by him. And that's why those precious characters throughout God's holy word have such clear answers to their prayer, because the Lord indicted their heart to pray. They were good men, good women. You can look at Hannah. You can look at Hezekiah. You can look at others. They were poor sinners, 'tis true. But in them was some good thing, like godly Abijah of old. Some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel. And who had put it there? The Lord had himself. The steps of a good man are ordered. You think, you dear young people, in your steps in providence, may you see the Lord ordering those steps. Because if he orders them, it will go well. Now, just a word of warning there. He doesn't mean to say that it's going to be easy. There will be many difficult steps you may come into. But if he's ordered them, he will be with you in them. Oh, he will. You look at the precious characters in God's word, how the Lord ordered the steps for the children of Israel, for dear Daniel, for Joseph and Jacob, and we could name a whole list. He ordered their steps, and you look how the Lord was with them in it. He didn't leave them. And if he orders your steps, poor soul, whether it's in the steps of affliction, the steps of trial, the steps of temptation, the steps of divine blessing, divine favour of heaven, he will be with you in it. What do we sing in the hymn? All events at his command. And you look in the case of the children of Israel going through the Red Sea. You look how the Lord ordered their steps through that sea. He was with them to bring them safely through. and to deliver them in that great hour of need. The steps then of a good man are ordered. That seemed a very sweet word to me, ordered. You think of it concerning, well, I was going to say concerning each of our own hearts, but think of it particular to illustrate it of those in the Word of God. The Lord ordered the very day of birth to dear old Jacob. He ordered all the sons that he should have. He ordered the steps he had to take in providence. You know, there were many things that came against dear old Jacob, like Esau, the opposition he had from him, but that was all ordered. Why? For the establishing of Jacob's heart. And out of it he ordered that real prayer to go forth, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. It was all ordered. You look right through his life, and it was all ordered that he should go down into the land of Goshen to spend the last days of his life. That was all ordered, you know, by God. There were many things which seemed to be against Jacob, as he said, didn't he? All these things are against me. But you see, that was all ordered by the Lord. And this is where we need much grace to be resigned and to be submissive to his will. And if the Lord is ordering it, he'll give you grace to be submissive to him. It's the steps of a good man. Sweet submission. And of course, if you want the sweet proof of this in the case of the dear Lord Jesus himself, you look how submissive he was to his Father's will and to the mind of the God of heaven. Submissive to his will. Oh, you think of the desires of the Saviour's heart. The desire of his heart was to redeem his dear bride, his church. But oh, what he had to endure, and the submission given. It's a good word, isn't it? Submit yourselves therefore to God. That's the step of a good man. Sweet submission. He's not in the creature, but it's given by God. May the Lord ever deliver us from presumption, from rebelliousness, from hardness. But oh, may we have that sweet, submissive spirit to lie passive at his dear feet, and know no will but his. So you think in your steps before you, whether it's through affliction, whether it's through trial, temptation, or whether it's in an easier, as it would, we may say, pathway. Sometimes the way is smoother, isn't it? The hymn writer said he dreaded the calm more than billows breaking on his head. Because in those billows, you know, the Lord wonderfully blessed him. Oh, he did. But in calm, there was unexercise, unconcern. It's so easy for us to settle on our leaves. Oh, may the Lord order every step in providence and in grace for us each. And then what I was coming to was this, you know, he orders the day of death. All events, we sung it, didn't we, at his command. He orders it, and the hour will come, you see, with you and with me, when it's all ordered, and he knows the very day, the very place, the very hour. When were you And these good men, if we're among them, our souls, theirs, have winged their way to glory. Wonderful prospect. It's all ordered, you see. And may that be of sweet comfort to us each today. The steps of a good man are ordered. He didn't say perhaps they will be. Are ordered. And who ordered them? Well, the Holy Spirit is clear. By the Lord. By the Lord. He who has power to order. He that has power to perform. He that has power to work. He that holds our life, our breath in his hand. And holds the small dust of the earth, and the mountains are all in his hand, and the nations are as a drop of a bucket. But he doesn't leave it there. I want to come to this fourth point in this first verse. He delighteth in his way. You know, under the grace of God, the Lord will bring every one of his dear children to delight in his way. And if you want a wonderful pattern of this, and it drops in very clearly to my soul, you think of the dear Redeemer. What did he say? I delight to do thy will, O my God. It was the soul's delight of the Saviour to do his Father's will. And you know, when you can see the Lord ordering your steps, making you to walk in his commands, making you willing to do whatever he tells you, it'll be your delight and your delight in his ways. You know, when I look back to the days prior to my baptism and in it, you know, it was my soul's delight to follow the Master. And I look back to those days, you know, they were blessed days. And he says here, doesn't he? And he delighteth in his ways. In his way. The way he's causing you to go. The way, and he'll make you to delight in that. We noticed in conclusion this morning, didn't we, one of the steps of a good man was in verse 4 of this same psalm, where he says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. It's not the delight of the world to worship God, is it? It's not the delight of the world to follow him in his commandments, in his ways. It's not the delight of the world to keep the Sabbath day, but it's the delight of a real child of God. Oh, it is. He makes it their very soul's delight. Because they are under the sweet influence of the blessed Holy Spirit. He's ruling them, controlling them, helping them on in the journey. And he delighteth in his ways. You think of dear David, how he delighted to go up to the house of God. What did he say? I love the habitation of thy house, O Lord. The place where thine honour dwelleth. It was his delight to go, it was. Why? Because he wanted to hear the Lord's voice, didn't he? One thing, he says, have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And then he gives the reason why. To behold the beauty of the Lord you know, as a blessed beauty when we can see Christ within the doors and to feel him within the doors. And there's a blessed delight in the child of God as his word is read and as the word is made precious to the soul. To behold the beauty, and he saw a blessed beauty in the word. You see, it was full of the Lord Jesus. And to inquire in his temple, oh, are you an inquiring sinner? Inquiring of the Lord. And this is why he delighted to go, and that he might hear the Lord's voice. But I want to come to the following verse. It seemed to so rest upon me. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Dear David knew that he was prone to fall, though he fall. You see, these good men just left for a moment can fall. But there's a wonderful mercy here. They never fall from God's grace. The text doesn't go on to say that they'll be cast out forever, does it? Not that the Lord agrees with their falling. David, of course, could speak from experience in his life. He knew what it was to fall outwardly. May the Lord ever keep us, but from falling outwardly. He fell, didn't he? But the wonderful mercy was this. The Lord didn't leave him to fall utterly and eternally, did he? Oh, no. It cast him down, as our text said. The wording is very wonderful, really. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. You think of David, you know, when he fell in that hour of temptation with Bathsheba. We find the dear man, the Lord, so looked upon him and dealt with him. He brought him to humble confession of his sin, didn't he? Humble repentance. And oh, I love that 51st Psalm. You see, he could well write that when the Lord had given him mercy. Oh, he could. We're prone to fall, aren't we? And let me dig a little deeper into it. Not just outwardly, it's a mercy to be kept outwardly. But you think how many times we fall in our thoughts. We fall. Our thoughts are soon drawn off into time things and things that are perishing. And we fall, we have these evil thoughts. Enmities in the heart. And we fall. The hymn writer said, he thought fall 1,000 times a day, didn't he? How we need, and it's been with me so much since the text came, the need of being kept, lest we should fall. And when is it we should fall? In the hours of temptation. And that is why we read those two sacred portions in God's precious word in the epistle, first of all, of James, where he speaks about the hours of temptation. And two, regarding dear Peter. Since this text has been on my heart, I've thought so much, you see, of David falling. He fell outwardly, didn't he? Peter fell outwardly. And he denied his Lord and Master in the judgment hall. But you look at the wonderful thing in both cases. Sin, let us be very clear, is a stench in the nostrils of the Lord. Oh, it is. And I speak that reverently and rightly. But you know, with David and with Peter, the Lord wonderfully appeared, didn't he? We read in the text, "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." He upholdeth him. And that's what keeps you and me, and kept David, and kept Peter from falling utterly. Because the Lord upheld them. And I want to look at that in a moment, just briefly. But to go to the reading, these words seem to drop in with such power when I thought upon this second verse. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation." James could well write it. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him." Oh, endureth temptation. There may be many temptations that are coming your path, poor soul, and Satan will keep tempting you. Oh, he will. He'll tempt you on all sides. He'll try and draw you away from the Lord, you see, and draw you away from the things you love. "That endureth temptation." Oh, that we may truly endure it. But then we think of dear Peter, how he spoke, didn't he, so beautifully of the trying of your faith. You see, if the Lord give you and give me a grain of living faith, that faith has got to be proved. He's got to be tried. Peter's was tried, wasn't it? You think of that dear man. He was willing to go even to death in love to his Saviour. And yet in the hour of temptation, he fell. And what does he write in his epistle? And he could write it from experience. "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." But let us look at this beautiful closing word, because it's so sweet to a poor fallen sinner. One that falls, you know, and we need the Lord to keep us every moment, lest we should fall. And what does he say? And may it be of sweet comfort to your poor tempted heart this afternoon, "For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." Oh, he does. He upholds his dear people with his hand. Though they fall, he upholds them. He doesn't leave them to fall utterly into eternal damnation, like Judas ended his life as he did. Solemn, isn't it? But oh, may we know this upholding of the Lord in times of trial, times of temptation, though he fall. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Now, there's two precious things here I just want to set before you. Firstly, you look at the sweet promises, two precious promises that the Lord has promised to uphold his people with. We think first of all of that beautiful word in the book of Deuteronomy, in the blessings of the 12 tribes of Israel. And what does he say? The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And what are those arms under you to do? Uphold you, you see. You may feel to be sinking this afternoon. You may feel as though you're going to fall from grace. But those arms will uphold you. Why? Because they're everlasting arms. They're arms that will never fail. They're the arms of the eternal God. And they uphold the sinner. It's like we sing in the hymn, who can hold us up but thou? And maybe those of you are going to need these arms under you. To uphold, to comfort, to encourage, and you'll need them continually. I've told you before, dear Mrs. Gurney at Ashwell, when she went down to the operating theatre to have her leg amputated, you know, it's the only way the doctors could save her life. And as she went into that theatre, you know, the Lord spoke those words. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. And in her simplicity, she said this. She said, Lord, keep them under me. Keep them under me. And you know, when she came out and was taken in of the theatre and taken into the ward to recover, she said, my prayer was, Lord, still keep them under me. You know, it was so sweet and so real. Keep them under me. And it may be with you today. And in the future pathway, we shall need those arms to be kept under us. Oh, we will. But then, the other word that seemed to drop in really sweetly to me in this, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. With that beautiful promise in Isaiah 41. Where the Lord said this. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. And then listen. I will strengthen thee. I will help thee, and then listen, and I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And that right hand of his righteousness is the hand of his divine strength. Oh, it is. It won't matter what may come through life or in the swellings of Jordan. These souls will be upheld by him. We think of that beautiful couplet of the hymn the Lord spoke to me in 20 years ago going to Australia. Those precious words. His shoulders held up heaven and earth while Mary held up him. And you think he can hold up heaven and earth, he can hold you up, poor soul, and me. Oh, he can. He has all power to do it, you see. And oh, may the Lord, it's my great exercise and concern, that we may know that sweet upholding. And who is it that needs it? Well, those that know their weakness, those that know how prone they are to fall, those that need the Lord to order their steps, they need upholding. Those in much weakness, those in affliction, those in losses, in crosses, this upholding. And it's something you can plead before the Lord. Lord, do uphold us. Do uphold us. Oh, I think of that very sacred hymn. It's been made such a blessed hymn to so many of the Lord's dear children. 957. Why sinks my weak, desponding mind? Why heaves my heart the anxious sigh? Can sovereign goodness be unkind? Am I not safe, since God is nigh? He holds all nature in his hand, that gracious hand on which I live. Does life and time and death command, and has immortal joys to give. 'Tis he supports this fainting frame. On him alone my hopes recline. The wondrous glories of his name, how wide they spread, how bright they shine. Oh, that we might know more and more of that great upholding hand of the Lord. And especially when we come down to the swellings of Jordan. It's like Christian and Hopeful, you know. What did they prove? When they came down into the river. And each one of us, you know, have got to come down into the river of death. There's no escaping it. Sometimes the river's wide. The Lord's a sovereign, sometimes it's narrow. But we shall need the Lord to uphold us through it. Oh, we will. To land us safe in glory. And what did Christian and Hopeful prove? They proved the bottom was good. Underneath, you see, were these blessed arms of the Lord. His upholding them by the right hand of his righteousness. Well, I've scratched around the surface of it today. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply this word. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Amen.